The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with a 20-minute time limit.
You used to call me on my. You used to.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to Nintendo News Report for Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. I'm Donald Terriel, and joined tonight by one of our new Nintendo World Report staffers, Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, so, I should have written this down here. What's your last name?
Posner. We'll just go with Posner. Double last names are always a pain in the ass anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just started with us. Have you had a chance to put anything up on the site as of yet? Or?
I have. I worked freelance for a while before, but it's back since April. But this is, as of last week, I'm a full-time staff member, so it's really exciting.
Good to have you on board, and one of your specialties is Pokemon, which is perfect because we had a little two-minute dump of Pokemon news today that I think I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of it. So, of course, the usual monthly pre-KoroKoro magazine and Pokemon news dump came out. We are going to have Galarian Pokemon, similar to the Alolan forms.
Mm-hmm. These new regional variants have been sort of a thing since Sun and Moon came out, and I have to say, I prefer it much better than the Mega Evolutions back in X and Y, because it's a really new take on the Pokemon. I see they're doing like so much with it, especially this time around. I really like what they're doing with the new Galarian forms.
Yeah, like they have. So the first one they showed off was Galarian Weezing, who he has a he has a steam pipe on his head, but it's supposed to look like a top hat.
It's amazing, and I love his mustache and the beard on the other one, the other half of the face. It's so funny.
Yeah, and he'll be a fairy type with levitate.
It's the first poison fairy type, so that's going to be super exciting, and levitate's going to help. But it's also worth noting that the other ability was grayed out, so we have no idea what it's going to be. So it's likely to be new abilities shared with another Pokemon, but it's definitely something to look out for.
Yeah, so I wonder if it'd be something that'll keep him at the one weakness, like, because poison fairy with levitate, I'm pretty sure that means steel too. So we'd have two, psychic and steel, but
which is still very good. I believe most Pokemon are the only other one that has similar type weaknesses as Mimikyu, steel.
Yeah, Mimikyu.
Yeah,
Steel
Ghost.
Yeah, Steel and Ghost. That's pretty much it for him. And because he's fairy, I think they just showed off like Fairy Wind
here. Yeah, I don't really see the fairy design, but it's a cool type combo, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And then they showed off that it won't just be the first 151 getting these new forms, as the Zigzagoon line is getting the Rattata treatment of being normal and dark. And then they gave it an evolution. But only in the Galarian form.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest thing. Because, A, we're getting access to all new Pokemon like that we haven't seen before. So Obstagoon is also Dark Normal type, and it's got access to a new moves. But it only evolves from the Galarian Linoon, which is really interesting. Because we've never seen something like that before. But also, like you said, we have access to all the new Pokemon that now can have Galarian forms, not just the original 151. So what does that mean? It means we might get somebody from X and Y or Gen 5, Black and White, that gets a Galarian form, which I think is really cool. It's not favoriting Gen 1. Who knows what that'll mean for competitive side things. That's always something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, because I think in the competitive game, Linoan wasn't very popular. So, this new evolution, it'll certainly get a lot of play early on as they sort of try it out, basically.
Well, it's going to be interesting because Linoan was typically sort of used as the typical HM slave for back in the day. So when it's come to giving it a new form, Game Freak has always said that when they give a Pokemon a new form, they want to give it viability. So it'll be really interesting to see what it gets and what's going to... I mean, I know it's got some interesting abilities, like Gluttony is going to help, but it'll be interesting to see what moves it gets and how good Obstagoon is going to be and what the stats are going to be like. It'll be good. And I believe Obstagoon's got an exclusive move, too.
Yeah, it seems like it's sort of holding up... Or so the more defensive Pokemon, so we'll probably see it get counter, because a lot of its flavor text was it's going to do it'll wait for the opponent to attack and then strike back. So
right.
So probably focused around counter and probably not all that fast, but
right.
But if he still has access to the Gluttony ability, he can do some fun things with that.
It's definitely an interesting Pokemon. I'd be really excited to see what other Pokemon get evolutions through a Galarian form. Like, who knows, maybe Pokemon I've always said that needs an evolution is Cherubim, which is a Pokemon everybody forgets about. But Cherubim and Cherim, I think having a Galarian form, like a Metropolitan sort of Galarian Cherry, would be super cool and have it evolve again. It'd give new life to a Pokemon not many people know about.
I've been holding out hope for like a fighting, flying, Farfetch'd evolution since about 1998. So
I think you might be getting lucky with this one. Rumor has it that the next one to be revealed is Farfetch'd.
Well, we'll see on that. They did introduce one Pokemon that's not part of the Galarian story or the Galarian line, but it is a brand new Pokemon, Morpeko, an electric dark type. Has a trademark move. It's called Aura Wheel. Electric typed when its belly is full, and if it gets into hangry mode, it becomes dark type.
Right, and so its ability Hunger Switch is. It knows its exclusive move, Aura Wheel, and during its ability Hunger Switch, every turn, the type of Aura Wheel, the Pokemon, the move type, will change between electric and dark, which is a really interesting idea. So you never really know what you got to get, so you got to take an extra bit of precaution with this one. And I mean, obviously, Morpeko is the obligatory Pikachu clone of this generation, but I think it's really cool to have it as a hamster.
Although those cheeks certainly stand out. And they showed off two rivals, Beedi, who looks like your very posh person that you want to punch in the face, and Marnie, who appears to have their own team of evil fanboys and fangirls.
Yeah, so it looks like Team Yell is basically a ravaging fan base that just their whole gimmick is they want to get in the way of your competition and everybody else's competition so that Marnie can be the champion, which is, I think, is a really interesting. I mean, who knows if that's Game Freak taking a jab at all the backlash that everything's going on, although this would be planned well in advance. But
yeah,
you know, all the backlash that's been going on with Sword and Shield, I think it's really ironic that this is the generation that we're getting Team Yell in.
Yeah, they couldn't have timed it any better, really.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, so they didn't show this in the trailer, but the Pokemon website actually showed off that you'll be able to send out your boxed Pokemon, and yes, we're back to a box this time, thank heavens.
Yes, not that mess of a list from Let's Go.
And you'll be able to send them out on odd jobs. So
yeah, so it's called Pokejobs, and it works with the Rotomi PC. And basically, it works very similarly to the Pokepelago from Gen 7, where you'll send a couple Pokemon off on doing tasks and stuff. They'll gain experience, get some IVs, get some rewards back. And it's giving some life to Pokemon that, you know, will forever be box fodder. And I think it's a really cool idea, and I'm glad it's returning in some form.
I wonder if, like, one of the... they'll probably have things like you can go find items or go help harvest berries and bring a couple home for yourself. Or some stuff like that, because I know... And hopefully it's just not as abusable as Pokepelago originally was.
Oh, yeah. It was still bad. Even in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, it was really, like, you could get rare candies and stuff and just break the game.
Yeah. we'll probably get more Pokemon news. The World Championships are, I believe, not this weekend coming, but the next one. So they'll probably be at least one reveal out of that at the opening ceremonies.
I believe back when Sun and Moon was being announced, I believe Turtonator was announced at Worlds, which is, so I'm sure we'll get one Pokemon at least, or a new character or something new.
Yeah, and something that usually they'll focus on things that have like competitive appeal.
Right, and they also they also are really trying to shake up the metagame, so they'll try. I'm sure they'll have something with some unique ability or unique type combination that'll really stand out.
Yep. So we'll have more on that next week then. Yesterday though, we got some unfortunate news here. Pertaining to a Wii U eShop game, but a game that's kind of near and dear to my heart, certainly. Capcom, unfortunately, the license for DuckTales Remastered appears to be running out and probably not worth it to renew for a game that they would have to port to modern consoles to get continued revenue from it. So starting on Friday, it'll be delisted from the Wii U eShop, and in the meantime, you can get it on the Wii U eShop for $3.74 US or Canadian.
And I think this is just a consequence of being in a digital age where you're going to lose a lot of these games one day, and there's nothing really you can do about it. I mean, especially movie tie-ins or game tie-ins or anything. There's nothing permanent if you get it digitally, and that's what I'm really worried about in this modern day. But having DuckTales, which is such a classic game, especially back in the Super Nintendo, in the NES days, it's unfortunate to see something like this happen just because they can't renew the license or they don't want to. Because I still think the remastered game is fantastic, and I definitely would support it coming to modern consoles. It's a shame that this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history in that game just because it was like the final major DuckTales role for some of the original cast members who passed away after that game in the years since that game came out. One of them, I believe, Russi Taylor, the voice of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, actually passed away last month, or actually it was late June. But we're never gonna have that again unless they do something maybe with the new cast for the modern reboot. But
yeah, and I'm sure that's also a part of it. Like there's a whole new audience of kids who are watching the reboot on Disney Channel now who would have never grown up with something like the DuckTales on the original DuckTales. So I'm sure that played a part. They're gonna wanna, if they ever do make a new DuckTales, I doubt it'll be in the vein of classic DuckTales, more along the lines of the modern reboot.
Yeah, and I don't see a universe in which David Tennant would do voice acting for video games, but
no,
that might be a little bit out of his price range, especially for something that was
just a tad.
I mean,
Disney's got the budget for it.
Yeah, I suppose, but Disney's taken more of a hands-off approach with video games ever since they got out of the Infinity business a few years back. So
that was still the saddest day. I was so hoping for a Scrooge McDuck figure. I was one of the few people who loved Disney Infinity, but I can only dream now.
Yeah. Well, Toys to Life in general crashed pretty much after. I honestly blame the Animal Crossing amiibo.
I think that played a huge part in it, and I think that's also the reason why we got so few Isabelle amiibo in stores last week or the week before, but that's another topic.
Yeah, and now there is one advantage, though, with DuckTales in that it did get a physical release on it. Like, you can get a Wii U disc for it, but I'm betting that now that there's news that this has been discontinued, the price of those discs is going to go up quite a bit.
I'm sure, yeah. It's going to become a collector's item, just like anything.
Yeah, and it's been out of print for a few years, so. But again, if you still have a Wii U hooked up somewhere, I know I do, $374, and you'll be able to check out those kick-ass remixes of the Moon theme.
Right. And also make sure you download it. If you have already purchased it, download it before Friday. Otherwise, you won't be able to download it anymore.
Oh, no. You'll still be able to download. Like, if you bought, as long as you buy it, like, you can even just go on the Nintendo website and buy it. You'll still, it'll be in your download history, but you won't be able to purchase it. And
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Okay. I must have misread that then. I'm pretty sure they made a statement saying that you wouldn't, but. And if you do want a physical copy, I mean, there's still GameStop is still selling it for $10 and pre-owned, which is still a pretty good deal for this game if you want it physical. And on it's worth noting that it's also on other platforms it's leaving too. Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PC. So definitely make sure you grab it. You don't want to miss this one.
And I guess the final thing that we'll have that we have, I guess we have time to talk about here. There was an update, I believe, today for Crash Team Racing on all platforms, Switch included. And in addition to doing some updates to the Grand Prix mode, it also added microtransactions, which I believe Matt was told directly by an Activision representative that there would be no microtransactions in Crash Team Racing. That lasted about, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, pretty much, since the game came out the 21st of June, so just 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I know you were particularly peeved at this, because, like, I haven't played Crash Team Racing. I'm not a Crash Bandicoot fan, so this is a bit out of my wheelhouse here, but so is it basically just trying to speed up unlocking stuff in the unlock modes that they announced?
So I want to preface this by saying that I'm a huge Crash Bandicoot fan. I love Spyro. I love Crash. Love Crash Team Racing. Got it day one. Pre-ordered it months in advance. So I was excited about this from the beginning. And then they announced this system called Wumpa Coins. And these Wumpa Coins kind of work as your microtransaction, like microcurrency, that you basically use to purchase all the content that's considered like new to the game. So all the nitro fueled content, all the new characters, new carts and everything. So you use these Wumpa coins to purchase it in a sort of a Fortnite style shop. The difference is you don't make enough Wumpa coins to make it worthwhile. So typically items and a character will cost around 1500 coins in the shop, where and like most of the new carts and bundles, they have bundles that cost, that have like three or four items that cost 5,000 to 7,000 coins. And typically on a good race, during a good period where you get double Wumpa coins, you'll most likely get 200 max.
So you'd have to do like 35 of these races and win them, which, depending on your difficulty level, that can be quite tricky, based on what I understand from the reviews, to get some of this high-end content.
Right, and it's also worth noting you have to be online at all times, so you cannot do that. You get maybe 16 coins when you're playing an adventure mode map or a time trial or something like that, so it's not even worth it. So to combat this, Activision added in coin packs, basically, to the game to sort of speed up and incentivize you to pay for it. And it's about the main one I've been seeing. I haven't actually seen the full list of prices yet, but I know it's around 10,000 coins for $10, which is very pricey. You're getting two or three bundles max for just for $10 that you can get normally, which is very steep.
Should be able to check this Crash Team Racing PS4, because I think the PlayStation Web Store will have the pricing there. But yeah, so you basically have to do $10 every time they put out one of these things anyway. Basically, to get everything out of it.
Pretty much. Yeah, they've set it in such a way where you are going to have to grind for hours to get everything you want. And especially, I played for the Grand Prix this morning. They have the sort of a seasonal Grand Prix for the Back in Time right now. So you get like Baby Crash, Baby Coco, Baby T-Rex, whatever. And I spent maybe a half hour grinding, and I barely got enough to earn one character, which is sad, where yeah. other people are just paying dollars for it, something that I'm working way harder for them. And especially when they promised that there was going to be no microtransactions. I really think that's a huge blemish on this game.
Yeah, that's kind of disturbing, and we'll have more on that as it shakes out here. But yeah, so
yeah,
that,
and I think we also have to just remember that it's not Beanox's fault or Crash's fault. It's Activision. Activision has this policy, and it's unfortunate, but it's, I don't think the team at Beanox intentionally said that we were going to make this the coin earning steep to basically incentivize the addition of Wumpa coin purchases. I think that's totally Activision's doing.
Yeah, because that's what they do with Call of Duty. They never have the microtransactions in the game at the start, but if they get it, but they're added in very quickly.
And I think that's becoming a new trend, so that for higher review scores, I think the game companies are adding them in post-patch so that the game still gets a high review score without being budgeted down by microtransactions.
Always fun to look forward to. So,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's all the time we've got for this week. Brett, thank you for coming out, and we'll definitely have you on again here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and where can people find you on the internet outside of your writing at NWR?
So you can find me on Twitter at Muffin the Dino, and little old username. And basically, that's where I am anywhere over the internet. And I hope you check out some of the stuff I'm doing for NWR in the future. I hope you guys are going to like it.
Yeah. Of course, I'm on Twitter at NWR Donald. You can find us at Nintendo_NWR, or you can go to patreon.com/NWR to support the site that supports us. And that's it for this week. Thanks very much, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.